Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
If you would, please take and turn with me in your outlines there. I think they're right in the bulletin, so just turn the page over. And we're also going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, starting with verse 13 here in just a few moments. Now, a few weeks ago, we started our series of looking at heaven. So here's a quick, it's quarter till, that means I still got, it's quarter to 11, so we got to be out of here by 3, we're good. Okay, who remembers some different things from a couple weeks ago, just a quick review about some things that we said about heaven, or in the message a couple weeks ago as we did the introduction into the heaven series. Those that were not here, you're off the hook. If you were here, or if you did, or if you watched the video, then you, okay, one thing. I just want one thing. Somebody tell me one thing from that message.
Believe, accept, receive.
I'm sorry, what? Say that again.
Believe, accept, receive.
Believe, accept, receive, okay? Believe in what Christ has done for us, going to the cross. Accept his forgiveness and believe in him and receive his forgiveness. We do those things to get where? Heaven. Now, when I say that, we do those things because of the love that we are to have for Christ. And receiving heaven is one of those benefits we have in coming to Christ. We are in forgiveness. We receive forgiveness from sin. Today we're talking, as we continue on with our series, the heaven of now is what we're talking about today. And in Scripture, when it talks about heaven, we have to understand exactly which heaven the Bible is talking about when we're talking about it, or what verses are different verses. In Genesis 1, it says that God created what? Heavens and the earth. The Hebrew for heavens that is used there is Shemayim. You say, well, that's a tough word. It is a tough word. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but it's Shemayim, which actually has three meanings. It means atmosphere, outer space, and the spirit realm where God lives. So that goes back into the context of the verses when they're using the word Shemayim. The word Shemayim is only used when being used in plural form of heaven. So when it says there that God created the heavens in Genesis 1, it's talking about our atmosphere in outer space. Okay? We'll come back to the spiritual realm of heaven in a minute, but specifically talking about that point because he's talking about creation. Okay? In Genesis 1. Whenever Scripture is talking specifically about heaven as the place where God is, as far as our eternal home, it's always specific with descriptions such as the highest heaven, the sanctuary of God, the heaven of heavens, as it says in Nehemiah, and as John called it also, the third heaven. Okay, so when you see things like that, it's specifically talking about the dwelling place of God. Now keep that in the back of your minds when I say that. It's the dwelling place of God. So let's remind ourselves of what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. If you're able to and willing to, please stand with me as we read it. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage. Some versions say comfort. Encourage one another with these words. Lord Jesus, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity, the blessing of being here together, to know that you are here with us. Lord, as we continue on and looking in our series of talking about heaven, we just ask that you just continue to touch us and bless us. And give us just some imagination, just some things that you're pointing out to us and just different pictures in our minds. But to know that you have special things in store for us. Some surprises coming up. And just especially blessings. We just ask now to open our eyes, open our ears, and especially open our hearts to your word today. We pray this together. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, if you remember, we talked about this passage before. We mentioned about how those who have died in Christ have not yet entered that final heaven or the final home. We talked about that, how they are with Christ in spirit right now. We mentioned how that going into heaven doesn't take place until we all do it together, when we've all received our new, resurrected, perfect bodies. Okay? When those have passed on before us, if we're still alive when Jesus comes back, when the rapture takes place, how we are, that big family reunion is what I called it. How everybody joins together, and then we are taken into heaven to be with Christ. For the majority of this series, that eternal home, or that eternal place, if you want to call it that, or heaven, is where we'll be focusing. But there are questions and things to think about what I'm calling today the heaven of now. We all have loved ones who are believers who've passed on before us. Believers in Christ and what he's done for, accepted him as Savior. And unless Christ raptures the church first, we will die in Christ if we've accepted him as Savior. It only seems fair to look at what Scripture says about that heaven of now, that place where they are in with spirit with Christ at this point in time. Yeah, as the series goes on, we're going to be talking about, and even a little bit today, about that eternal, quote-unquote, heaven place. We're also going to look at what the heaven of now is all about, the place Christians presently go when they die. Now, before we begin, you might hear some strange things at first when I'm talking. So we have to kind of clear our minds of any pre-notions or preconceptions of what we thought heaven was. Okay? And just kind of start fresh a little bit with some different things that we're going to be looking at. First off, the temporary heaven of now. The temporary heaven of now. Through the years, there's been a lot of misconceptions or misunderstandings, whatever you, however you want to put that, about heaven and going there. For example, how many times when we were growing up, or have we actually said it even as adults, that heaven is up? Okay? Is there any proof that heaven is up? Yes, Christ ascended. But that doesn't necessarily mean that heaven is necessarily up, the way we can think about heaven being up. I used to say that too. However, one time I remember talking with a friend of mine. His brother-in-law passed away. He left three little kids. After the funeral and everything, for a few days afterwards, and that the youngest boy, who was 8 if I remember at the time, really started some different things, acting out, just different things, having a really hard time. So finally the mother asked me, so okay, what's going on? So it was just more different than what she was expecting for him losing his dad. And the boy goes, "Daddy went to hell." And the mother goes, "Why would you think Daddy went to hell?" Because he said the casket went down. The casket went down. So that's what I'm saying. Some things we got to kind of look at a little bit differently. I know that we mean it right. I get it. But we also, in trying to explain some things, sometimes we got to look at what we're saying. Another idea that we have often heard is that we will live in heaven, especially when we're thinking about the heaven of now, forever. Now I bet I just got your attention. Where is he going with this? You may be asking, "Pastor B, what are you saying? Heaven isn't forever?" I'm saying that the heaven of now is not forever. If the question is, will we be with Christ? Will we be with God forever? Absolutely, the answer is yes. We will be forever in eternity with him. But if the answer is, or the question is the heaven of now forever our dwelling place? Well, we're going to look at that. Remember, we have a bodily resurrection coming. We just saw it there in the verses we just read. Okay? We've talked about it, or said, talks about it in 1 Corinthians. Paul talks about it there. How we may not all die, but we will all be what? Changed. In that twinkling of an eye, remember that light we talked about? And so everything's going to happen so quick, so fast. It would only make sense if where people go now when they pass away or when they die is for the spiritual realm of us, our souls, our spirits. If we're going to receive new bodies, there's got to be a place for us physically. When believers in Christ die, they will not go to the heaven where they will live forever. They go what we are going to call an intermediate heaven. It is that place that Paul talks about in being asleep in Christ, there in 1 Thessalonians, or who have died in Christ. In that heaven, those who are covered by the blood of Christ await for the return of Christ, or for the rapture to take place. They get their bodily resurrection, their new created bodies, the perfect bodies that we will all receive. And the creation, excuse me, and then comes the next step. The Revelation talks about, we're going to be talking about quite a bit today, a new what? A new heaven and a new earth. You might want to jot that down in your notes, because we're going to be referring to that. We read this in Revelation 21. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea." John goes on to talk about a new Jerusalem. And we are given a physical description of that in chapter 22 of Revelation. John talks there talking about the restoration of Eden. What was Eden? Okay. This is where we will spend eternity, is in this new heaven, this new earth that God is going to put together for us. We want to put it like that. This is where we will be with God the Father and Christ the Son, our Savior. We could compare it to something like this. Lori and I each may go down to Florida. We go down to Sanibel Island. Okay? If you've never been there, go. It's a great place. I'm going to puff it up a little bit. Okay, even after the hurricane. But anyway, now when we lived in Texas, if we were flying, especially out of Amarillo, there was no direct flight from Amarillo to Fort Myers, which is where the airport was, right next to the Sanibel Island where we go. Usually you had to go like to Dallas, at least Dallas, and then maybe one other stop before you finally got to Fort Myers. At Fort Myers, we would then rent a car, and drive to Sanibel Island. Now, sometimes she went before me, came home after me, but basically this is how it went. Okay? When I would get to talking with people, you know, imagine me just starting up a conversation with somebody, as shy as what I am, and they would ask me where we are going. I never said I was going to Dallas. I never said I was going to Fort Myers. I said I was going to Sanibel Island. Dallas has a great airport. Big, got a lot of shops to it, got a lot of food courts to it. Okay, really nice place, great place. But that's not my final destination. When people die now, they're going to a great place. They are in the presence, the spiritual presence of Christ. But that's not the final step. There's something better coming yet. And we read about that in Revelation, in the verses we just talked about the new heaven, the new earth, that God is going to put together for us. The heaven of now will definitely be glorious. But it's something we also have to remember, we got something even better than that coming. Because we have a place coming that we're going to be talking about here in just a second, about taking us back to where God first wanted us to be to begin with. Okay? So you might be asking, Pastor B, are you talking about that heaven is a changing heaven? That's your next question. Is heaven a changing heaven? Well, let's talk about that for a moment. In talking with people about the heaven of now and the eternal heaven yet to come, I've often been asked, you're saying that heaven changes? Well, maybe. How can heaven change if it is eternal? So when we talk about heaven, we often look at as it being an eternal, because we say that we're going to live there for eternity, correct? That's what we say. But to say it is eternal means that it has to be what? Not just an eternity to come. To say that heaven is eternal would mean that it's been eternity past. And it cannot be eternal. Only God is eternal. At some point in time, we read in Genesis, we just talked about, at one point in time, God decided he was going to do what? Create the heavens and the earth. Okay, the atmosphere, space, all that stuff. But if heaven, his dwelling place, and that's how we're going to look at heaven for today, it's not a definition, but that's what will be our definition, the dwelling place of God, he had to create it as well. Because if it was eternal, that would put it at least equal to God. And where could it come from? Okay, you see what I'm trying to say here? The eternal place where with God's kingdom, or God, wherever God is at that point in time, has to have been created. It cannot be eternal as in the eternity past. The earth has not been here forever. God created it. And the kingdom of God is the same thing. It has to be created. God is eternal. Heaven cannot be eternal because it has to have a creator. And at some point, God, who is eternal, formed a dwelling place for him and his son and his created angels. Now, has God created earth and has it changed? Has the earth changed over the years? Sure. And I don't mean just, you know, the way people are, I'm talking about the earth just in itself. It's always gone through some natural changes. Every single day, there's changes taking place within the earth. When the flood happened, there were some major changes that took place within the earth. It changes because it has a beginning and is therefore neither timeless or changeless. Because God created heaven, it had a beginning and therefore is neither timeless or changeless. Heaven had a past, the time prior to Christ's incarnation, before his death and before his resurrection. It has a present, the heaven of now, where we go when we die, and it will have a future as the eternal place, or the eternal heaven, or the new earth, God's dwelling place. The past, present, and future heaven can all be called heaven because they are God's dwelling place, and yet they are different. We could think about like this when I say heaven changes. We've talked about the heaven of now as being the place where presently believers go. Did they go there in bodily form? No, we've answered that. No. Their soul has been taken up to be with Christ. So in this heaven of now, we get the idea that there's no need for eating, there's no need for drinking, because it's in the spiritual realm. As we continue to look at the new heaven and the new earth and everything there, we are told of trees with fruit that we will be eating. If there's going to be something that we need to eat, we need to have what? We need to have teeth. Okay? We need to have something physical. Okay? We need to be something physical. So distinguishing the heaven of now and future heaven. Distinguishing the heaven of now and future heaven. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 3. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be their God." The heaven of now is that angelic spiritual realm. It distinctly is separate from the earth. The heaven yet to come will be in the human realm, physically a new earth. And the dwelling place of God will be in that new Jerusalem, on the new physical earth. Now, this is something that we're going to talk about more about, but I'm just going to say it real quick. I believe this, that new heaven, or that new earth, the new Jerusalem on the new earth, is this earth redeemed. It's not that God creates a whole new planet in some other new solar system or whatever, but it's this planet redeemed. Because we get what? Redeemed bodies. Okay? And God is going to one day judge this earth, go through whatever he's got to do to it, and redeem it in his way. We'll talk more, get specifics on that later on. Some may say that the new earth should not be called heaven. But for me, it seems clear that if the definition of heaven is the dwelling place of God, and we are told that God is going to be dwelling on that new earth in the new Jerusalem, why wouldn't we call it heaven? In Revelation, we are told that the throne of God and of the Lamb is in the new Jerusalem. So why wouldn't we call that heaven? Not the heaven of now, but the heaven that is yet to come. Let's go back to Genesis. If you haven't caught on, I say that a lot. Go back to Genesis for a moment. Before Adam and Eve sinned, how did God communicate with them? Personally come down, he did what with them? Walked with them. Where? In the Garden of Eden, which was perfect, paradise. Okay? Now, we know the story of what happened, okay? But at that point, God came down to them to spend time personally, physically with them. Okay? Now, God is spirit, I get that, but he was physically with them. Why, if he could have just taken okay, Adam, Eve, you come up here for a little bit. But he didn't do that. He went down to them. And we are told there in Revelation that that is exactly what him and Christ are going to do in the new Jerusalem and on the new earth. They are coming down to us to be amongst us, to spend time with us. John 14, 23 says, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. You hear what he says there? He will make our home with them. Talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, all three making their home where he has put man. Just like it was in the original Garden of Eden. It's going to go back to where God had first wanted it to be to begin with. Only this time we're not going to screw it up. Because we're going to be completely redeemed. Heaven, if you want to put this a little down in your notes, I didn't put it on there, but it's something for you to write down. Heaven is where God chooses to be. So whether we think of heaven as being the heaven of now where people go, or heaven of this, or you know what, remember, it's, heaven is simply where God chooses to be. The new heaven, the new earth, the new holy city of Jerusalem is about God coming down to us to make his eternal home. Just like he came down to be with Adam and Eve. The new earth is going to be this earth, as I said, resurrected, redeemed, however we want to put that. But those are the things that we look forward to. Yes, there is the heaven of now where believers who pass on or die, they are in heaven with because they're with Christ in his dwelling place where he is now. But Christ also talks about how Christ and God are going to be dwelling with us in the new Jerusalem, on that new earth. That's heaven as well. What we have to ask ourselves is this. How do we get there? Christ paved the way for us to be part of that eternal heaven, the eternal dwelling place of God, by going to the cross and rising again. What we are called to do is to believe it, accept it, and receive his forgiveness. So I'm going to do something that we've gotten in the kind of a habit to do, and we're going to probably continue to do it like this for a little while. I'm going to ask again, just everybody, just bow your heads and think. Just think to yourselves. Everybody's closed. You don't need to be looking around seeing who does what or whatever. And just ask yourself, have I truly accepted Christ as my Savior? Have I truly put my faith in him and asked him to forgive me of my sins? Do I have that promise of eternal life? Of Christ eternally dwelling with me in that eternal heaven? Lord Jesus, again, we do praise you and thank you for today. We thank you for the joyfulness of being with one another, to know that you are here with us and being able to sing songs to you and to praise you. And we thank you that you have paved the way for us to be redeemed. We thank you for going to the cross and dying for us and rising again. And we pray today that if there is someone here that's never truly asked you for forgiveness or is just simply wondering if they've ever truly done that, that they would not leave here today without making sure that they've accepted you truly as their Savior. And Lord, we thank you for the glory and the blessings yet to come of knowing that no matter what, When you are our Savior, we will dwell with you because you have chosen to dwell with us. We pray this together. Amen.